This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, I've got a game for you, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little bit out of the loop on this one. The rest of us are well prepared for this game right now.
Oh, no.
We're going to play a round of Does Danny Hate It? And this is about something that's going on in DC sports today.
What?
So here's what we're going to do. Darris, Toby, and Ryan, you can guess with me. We'll all go on the record for Does Danny Hate It, yes or no? And then we will ask Danny how he feels about it. You guys know the story. I'm not going to bring it up just yet. All right, Danny can't know what we're talking about just yet. But the big developing story in DC sports today, does Danny hate the bit that is happening? I will go on record first. I will say he despises what is about to take place. Darris?
I'm going to go. I feel like the easy answer is to say that he hates it. I'm going to go against the grain and say that he's going to not be all that bothered by it.
Well, the only reason he would do that is to swerve, to just kind of like make us look like we're wrong. Do you actually think he's going to say he's not bothered by it, or he's actually not bothered by it?
I think he's going to say that he's not bothered by it. Yeah.
Because he's not.
Wait, all you
because
guys know not. What the it is?
Yes, we know what the it is. So you'll find out soon. Oh. I don't think he'll be bothered by it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan.
I could play reverse psychology here, but if I know Danny Ruye, he is going to hate this.
Okay.
He's going to hate it.
I mean, by the way, he's a liar if he doesn't hate it.
Yeah.
He's never hated anything more than the press release I'm about to read. All right, Toby, you're up.
He thinks it's unprofessional and absolutely hates it.
So is it that he's going to hate the press release part, or is he going to hate the whole thing?
The bit, the skit, the press release, the idea, the things involved. He's going to hate everybody and everything.
I think he's going to realize that it's a part of sports. Like, this is a thing that happens in sports sometimes. Some teams do this.
I can't wait to introduce you to the guy you've been working with for the last few years. All right, here's the press release. The Nationals are calling up top paw spect Bruce the Bat Dog. Danny, thoughts?
For what?
The Washington Nationals have called up top minor league paw spect Bruce the Bat Dog from AAA Rochester, the organization announced today. Bruce, 1 year, 9 months in, that's in people years, joins the Nationals for his first career major league assignment after posting a 1,000 receiving average in 3 appearances with the Red Wings this season. He will make his 4th start in Rochester on Friday, June 13th, going and getting the bats after at-bats, before traveling to Washington, where he will make his major league debut on Saturday, June 14th. Tickets for this highly anticipated event are available at nats.com/tickets. So there's a dog that is the bat boy, but it's a bat dog, their prospect, at AAA Rochester, who goes and gets the bats after at-bats that get left at home plate.
This is going to happen in a Major League Baseball game?
The Nats are calling him up to get the bats for the Nationals this weekend, Friday night, and they're telling fans they can get their tickets to see the highly anticipated event now at nats.com/tickets.
Danny.com/out. Apologize. Everyone apologize. Stop. It's not too late to stop this. It's not too late to stop it. Is every 16 or under male vanished from the earth like a Thanos snap? Please allow the human being to do it. Do I get bite marks on the bat? Is he slobbering over the pine tar, the magic hit spray? Or if I've got grip tape on, is that where he bites? What are we doing?
Quote, our fans and front office are always excited to see our players get promoted to the Nationals. But Bruce's promotion is a historic call-up to the big leagues that he richly deserves, says Rochester Red Wings GM Dan Mason. Nobody makes people smile more than Bruce, and I'm sure he'll do a wolf-tastic job.
Quote, everyone should be embarrassed, end quote.
A wolf-tastic job for the Nets. I was actually psyched that maybe Brady House would get called up on Friday before the Nelly concert. We don't need a call-up of Brady House. We are already moving some tickets.
We're all set. There's a puppy.
We got a prospect getting called up.
Where is the shame? This is not rookie ball. It's not the Gulf Coast League. This isn't Bull Durham. Give it up for Grady, the bloodhound that gets the bats, said the amateur city that shouldn't be taken seriously. No. Stop it immediately. Human being, bat boy. Human being, bat boy. It is the thrill of a lifetime for some kid to trot out there next to his heroes and, like, share the dugout space.
Bruce also gets a thrill out of
That's a dog that has no soul.
Dog guy. Has no soul, by the way.
Dogs don't have souls. Human beings do.
Souls. I'm sure dogs don't have souls. Dog guy.
Dogs don't. They're dogs. They live as long as they live, and it's sad when they go. That's a dog, man. That's a dog.
Some people wonder if that's the human experience as well, Danny.
Yeah, we get a little longer on this earth. We're a little higher form of evolution.
A golden retriever. Does that change anything?
Oh, okay.
Bruce is the organization's leader in head pets.
Is he? Hold on.
Just let me get through the press release. He's the organization's leader in head pets, belly rubs, and good boys since making his
Nathaniel Lowe's second? What are we talking about? What are we doing?
His first professional appearance on September 5th, 2024. He currently leads the International League in...
No, he doesn't. Admit that he doesn't.
This one's tough.
The one's coming up is tough? Yeah,
this is the toughest one. He currently leads the International League in pautographs and smiles and is among the team's top performers in boosting dugout morale. Loved by players and fans alike, Bruce carries on the legacy of Milo, Rochester's previous bat dog, by giving back to the community and bringing people together. There's no quote from Mike Rizzo here. You know, I just imagine them bringing this to Rizzo and him being like, get the bleep out of my office.
Right? I mean, seriously.
Like, you guys do whatever you're going to do, but never talk. What's your name? My name is Frank. Never talk to me again, Frank.
From now on, Frank can't come in here.
Right, exactly.
What are we, idiots?
Somebody in that office is Mike.
Mike, it's not bad. He signs a lot of pautographs. He's a top prospect. You guys love your prospects.
What are we, idiots?
What an unbelievably ridiculous thing.
Fish Cakes, EB, and JP. Joining us right now is Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
Doing great.
Well. Doing all right.
I got to tell you, my buddy texted me last night, and huge Mets fan, huge baseball guy. You know how these New Yorkers are. He's like, you guys really got a good one in Gore. He's the real deal.
Yeah, he's been pitching great for about a year and a half for us. He's certainly had a good start to this year. And, he's progressing and learning each and every start. And, you know, his next step is to, last year, the first half of the year, he was great. He had hit a little lull in kind of the middle mm-hmm. of the season, and then finished strong the last seven starts. So we're trying to extend him to have continued success through that lull period of last year and see if he can really turn the corner and become the ace that we think that he's going to be.
You know, Jason had a good question. Go ahead, ask.
Yeah, so I was just wondering. I mean, I know that for most of his starts, right around that 100 pitch mark is when he comes out. And last night, Davey took him out after 89 pitches, so he went six full. And then Lord came in, and he was fine in the seventh. But what was the rationale of taking McKenzie out after six and 89 pitches thrown?
I just think that you know the numbers say the manager's eye say the starting pitcher they all confer about after come off the mound and they thought that he had enough that day he did that last night he did his job he got us had a quality start got us through six good innings and turned it over to a bullpen that let's face it Ferrer's been over his last 12 outings and he's had a 0.66 ERA and a 1.36 opponent's batting average against. So we went with Lord, Ferrer, and Finnegan to try to finish that game, finish the last nine outs off, and Ferrer didn't get it done last night. But again, a young pitcher pitching in leverage innings, learning to trade, and it's got electric stuff, and just has to be a little bit more consistent with it.
Yeah. Tough lineup to go against, man, with Lindor and obviously Soto. Soto's been heating up. Alonso's been pretty hot all year. I think McNeil had a couple hits last night. Just a tough lineup to face.
Yeah, it's a grueling lineup. They're deep. They have a long lineup. They've got a lot of guys. Even the bottom of the lineup guys can beat you. And they're a highly paid veteran laden ball club. And they're. They're a tough team to play, and with that said, we split with them at home in four games, and we're hoping to take two out of three in this series. So we've been playing extremely tough, and I know they feel it when we come to play them. They know that we're going to give them everything we have, and we're a very talented but young and inexperienced ball club that's trying to get where they're going, where they're at now in first place in the division.
How have you liked Lord so far? We talked about him maybe before the season because there was the article that he was working at Home Depot in the offseason, but 3.77 ERA, he's got some holds. How have you liked his work so far?
He's been terrific for us. Stuff is electric. He's got three good pitches. We still view him as a future starter. But this is a good way to get his feet wet in the big leagues and pitch leverage innings for us. He's got that electric fastball that sneaks up on hitters. He's 94 to 95, touches six and seven with a good slider and a good change. So he's been great for us. And you're talking about a scouting and development success story, an 18th round pick that we drafted and developed into a really good major league pitcher. So we're proud of him, and he's got a very, very high ceiling and a bright future.
What's the update on the Dylan Cruz oblique strain at this point?
Cruz is still not doing any baseball activities yet, not swinging the bat, but doing everything else. He's progressing nicely, and hopefully when the oblique is fully healed, we'll ramp him up and get him to play some rehab games and get him out there again.
How do you determine, Mike, when a muscle is fully healed? Like what imaging or whatever do you guys use?
Well, yeah, we use imaging. We use we use stimulation. We use a bunch of markers that bring us to the point where we think that the muscle is healed and now ready to rehabilitate. The first is especially with an oblique, you almost have to shut the muscle down to let it heal, and then once it's fully healed, you get him back mobilization and stretching and strengthening, and then it becomes slowly into baseball.
Right.
You do baseball activities, and then you start ramping them up to take live swings, and then game swings, and rehab swings, and that type of thing. The oblique is a really cumbersome injury because it's hard to do anything obviously without the core of your body. So
did he do that swinging or running? I couldn't remember.
I think he aggravated swinging, and I think he, you know, he tipped it over when he was sprinting. But
right.
You know, those are usually aren't one, you know, grabbing type of movement, a swing or that type of thing. But it's kind of a gradual thing that builds up, and then like one swing will exaggerate the muscle where, you know, you feel something and then you have to say something about it. So
gotcha.
That's what happened with him.
And I think we asked you last week, but after the last few games since last Wednesday, your take on what you've seen from Hassel, and how do you think he's looked, since he's taken over for Dylan?
I think he's doing fine. He's not overwhelmed with the situation. You know, playing in New York City, not overwhelmed. He's putting some competent at bats together. He's playing good defensively. You know, kind of trying to learn the nuances of all these ballparks. You know, especially the visiting ballparks. Well, yeah, Nationals Park was a new ballpark to him too when he got there, and so I think that it's a learning process. You throw him in the deep end of the water. You're playing every day. You know, center field and then right field, you're hitting against left-handed pitching, right-handed pitching, and you know, you're getting baptism by fire. But I think his attitude has been great. I think that his makeup allows him to do that and compete and fail and where it doesn't really hurt his mindset and his psyche. So I think he's done well.
It's amazing. He's already been up for 20 games. He's already played 20 games. Yeah, I mean, flying.
Time flying. Now, you know, when you look at it, since May 14th, we've been 13-9. You know, we've been playing pretty good baseball, and in our last 58 games since we started 1-6, we've been 29-29 on the season. So those are some of the positives that we're trying to extract out of the mid portion of the season. We've got a lot of young guys competing for us. I think you see the young talent base. I know the other opposing teams do. They mention it to me all the time. And you know, when you're able to compete against and beat a team like the New York Mets, built the way they're built, it shows what these guys are capable of doing. But we're just scratching the surface. We've got 16 games in 16 days. We go out to a big 9-game West Coast swing, which is always grueling and tough. So, by All-Star break, we'll have a good feel for who we are and who's who on this club.
Mike, I'm asking you a question. I'm not trying to ask you a question that's like not fair or anything or put you on the spot. But can you look at the roster? Do you have in your mind and say we're three players away? Like, I'm not asking you to say the players that you know, or anything like that, but can you say, do you have a number in the back of your mind where, like, okay, I think I need two more position players and maybe two more starters, and then, you know what I mean? Is that a thing? Is that something you have in your mind? Like, we're getting, like, inching, as you're inching closer?
Yeah, I think that, you can see the future pieces on this team. You know, that doesn't take, you know, Branch Rickey to figure out,
right,
you know, who's the keepers and who's the guys that you have to figure, you know,
yeah,
that we have to improve in. So I think you're always looking at your team and your roster and saying that, you know, we can really fill this gap here, would be nice. And then
right,
this, and you never have enough starting pitching and you know that. And, do you have these pieces that you think you can fill these spots in the minor league system, or do you have to go externally to get them? And those are always the questions that you ask yourself and your staff to try and figure out. And I think that as this season gets clearer and clearer and clearer, I think that those questions,
the numbers are shrinking.
Will be clearer. Yeah,
right. The numbers are shrinking. Like, we're getting there.
I think you could see that we're playing much better. I think the way we're competing with other teams is better. We've won series against some really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like I said, you know, we had a 1-6 start. We're holding our own at, you know, at 29-29 since then. So I think that you could see that, it's a team on the come, especially when you're one of the two or three youngest teams in the league, and when when you have some of your best minor league, some of your best players that are still in the minor league. So that's often exciting for our staff to look at, and you may have some of these positional questions. You may have an answer in your own system.
Right, so but
that's the good part.
I know that my question might sound kind of silly, but like when we won it all in 2019, because we have rings.
We, Gates, yes, yes. We are World Series champions.
There were, you know, you also have to have, not always, I don't think. I don't know. I'm not a historian, but you have to have a blend. And you had a blend of those veterans that kind of came in, you know, the guy that was doing all the, you know, he's
on the Baby Shark.
Yeah, the Baby Shark guy. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you had the perfect blend, Para? It seemed like that. Yeah, Para. Who's, I think, is on their staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, you can see it with the Mets team right now. You know, they've got a bunch of good veteran players that are are surrounding a handful of good young players that you filter in. You got some, you know, big time high priced players with some minimum salary, you know, rookie players. And I think that's the mix and the ingredients that you know it takes to have a championship caliber club. It's you know, it's difficult to I think on our team right now we have about 14 or 15 homegrown players on our team. I think, you know, most of the pitching staff and most of the bullpen and two or three of the starters are homegrown or gotten in a trade from a homegrown player. So you know, young homegrown players, when you mix that in with the you know, with some veterans to take some pressure off them, I think that is a recipe for success. And you know, we did that blueprint, you know, back when we were from 12 to 19 when we were really good. We mixed a lot of young players that we drafted and developed in our own system, and either traded those players away to acquire major league talent to help us win, you know, at this time, or we kept those players and they played for us for you know, throughout their you know, first 5 or 6 years of the contract. So I think that's the key. Have good young players and have them play for you on the big league level, or trade them to acquire players that'll help you play on the big league level.
We're still a month away from the draft. What percentage of your day is still talking to your scouts about who you guys are going to take at one? That's still a big part of your day right now?
It's a big part of the day. One is an easier question to answer right now than talking about the entirety of the draft and the strategy of the draft what strategy are we going to employ, you know, with one combined with who's going to be left, you know, at 45 in the third round or fourth round and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, it takes, you know, I talked to those guys several times a week right now, and they were just in for a scouting meeting, amateur scouting meeting last week. So we were inundated with that for about 5 days last week of doing it all day. So we've got a good feel for where we're at and what we're doing. Now it's kind of just monitoring, because it's funny, you know, the only guys that are still playing baseball that are going to be in this draft are there 8 teams that are left in the College World Series. So oftentimes these high school players, they play a full season and then have to sit around for a month and a half or so before the draft.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, can we make a bet on you? Just a $1 bet amongst us. Don't answer.
Ooh, like betting.
Right. Has Mike Rizzo ever watched a Savannah Bananas game?
Ooh.
A full game?
Maybe
no chance.
An inning.
He's aware of them.
He knows, definitely
yeah,
knows
yeah,
who
yeah,
they
I'm
are.
I'm going to say no.
Has he,
no.
In other words,
yes, I'll answer it. I have not watched a full game of them, but I have seen them.
Would
play,
you go? Would you be
hilarious.
Entertained?
Oh,
you
it
would
is funny.
Like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they're hilarious. Yes, they're hilarious. A lot of ex minor league players are in those things.
Right.
I remember when we had them in our ballpark. Gio pitched an inning for them.
Right.
You know, he pitched an inning. They always have these local big league players whenever they're in the ballparks, and you know, they started in minor league parks.
Then they sold out our spring training facility a couple of times. Now they're selling out, major league ballparks. It's a phenomenon. They're fun to watch.
They're coming back to Nats Park in a few weeks.
They are. I think we have them a couple of games this year.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Cool.
Oh, there you
all
go.
Right.
You might
have kind of passionate.
You might have thought he was like,
that's what I thought.
Like an old school guy, but no.
Wouldn't you have thought that too?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Geez, guys are doing backflips, then catching a fly ball.
That's nuts.
It's impressive.
All right, Mike, good stuff. It's Mike Rizzo.
All right,
Nats GM, President Baseball Ops.
Thank you, buddy.
Brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
Riz.
He's good, man.
He likes us.
How come we got to do, Jason, will you pick a game? Let's just go, a game that you're, because I'll go to anything, a game that you're open to going to. Let's go.
I'm actually going to Saturday's game. I'm sitting in those seats that you were sitting in.
Oh, yeah. Baller seats.
But I'm sitting in the baller seats.
I know, but pick one where we all go and hang out with them, sit in there. And,
you got to find like a Thursday afternoon
game. Should I go up to the to his
I never his have, suite but you have more balls than me.
And just introduce my wife and daughters to him?
Yes.
I think I should.
I mean, it's a good flex.
Why not?
But, I mean, it's just
Before the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Not during the game.
It's a good flex. You show off your kids think you're a big time, but he doesn't care about it.
Well, of course he doesn't.
Yeah. But I mean, if it makes your kids think you're
Why would I think that he would care?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's a nuisance to him, actually. But
to
the daughters, it'll make you look good.
The thing is, he usually shows up, like, right before first pitch.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of
time Because he's down on the field and
I don't know where he is. He's in his office.
Right.
Talking about who they're going to draft at number one.
Well, it sounds like they already know who they're drafting at one. That's what it sounded like. Like, one's kind of like, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
It should be an easy one.
Yeah.
Is he going Holiday?
I don't know.
Is it going to be Ethan Holiday?
I have no idea. But
is it going to be that Jamie Arnold dude, the pitcher from Florida State? That guy's a stud.
I don't know. It'd be hard to pass on the bloodline, those Holiday bloodlines.
Yeah, that's true.
An ugly series. They led 4-2 in game one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mid-innings. Didn't score. 6th through 9th or in extras as they blew the game. Then they got shut out in game two, and then they went 8 innings today without a run. So at one point, Danny, 22 straight innings.
22.
Without a run scored. One of the big reasons why. Without being overly reactionary, just happens to coincide with a guy being ready. Brady House, man. He's sitting in AAA. He's homering just about every day at this point. He's on a 34 home run pace. He's having good at bats. He's hitting over 300 at this point. And there's no ramifications negatively in terms of losing eligibility for, you know, keeping him around as long as possible. Like you've already hit all the mile markers needed in terms of dates and arbitration. Prospects all over the game are getting called up right now because it's prospect season. So why not?
Do you think they call him up?
I don't, because here's why I say that. They had an open 40-man spot yesterday, and they claimed a pitcher and put him on their 40-man roster. If they were going to call up Brady House, that's something generally you have a pretty good indicator of over a couple of days before. But I don't think you would have filled your last spot, meaning you could. There's some ways they could get creative. But like Brady House would now have to be... would knock somebody off the roster, essentially. Like, they'd have to make a corresponding move, if that makes sense.
It does. So I'm wondering if there's... I'm racking my brain. Is there someone that can move to the 60-day IL? Or could, you know, did they... not being flippant about it, did they give walking papers to Eduardo Salazar, who was in mop-up duty again tonight?
Yeah, you could shorten your bullpen if you wanted. Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Like, on their 40-man right now in the infield... If you're just looking at that position, Abrams, Darren Baker, who's in the minors, Josh Bell, Andres Chaparro, Paul DeYoung's on the 10-day. Could you move him to the 60-day?
That's kind of my question.
That would be interesting, but is he getting closer? I saw he was back in the cage. Luis Garcia, big leagues. Trey Lipscomb, minor leagues. Nathaniel Lowe, big leagues. Nassim Nunez, minor leagues. Rosario Tena, Juan Yepez in the minors. I mean, you know, do you want to lose a guy from the organization potentially? The outfield, it's not one-to-one because we're talking about an infielder, but you've got Cole Cruz on the 10-day. I don't think you're putting him on a 60-day. He's going to be back sooner than later. Hassel, Lyle back in the minors, Wood and Young, so there's nothing to do there. Catchers, you've only got three guys, including Millis in the minors. No move there. So it's either one of these arms, but again, if you were going to do that, then you probably wouldn't have just claimed this guy Ryan Laudis that they did. Just yesterday.
No, right.
So that's the only thing that gives me a little pause. Otherwise, it all makes sense. Like, they've had a bunch of Friday night debuts. They always do it at home. It feels like the timing's right. As dumb as this sounds, from a business standpoint, you know, a lot of times I think you bring these guys up to kind of sell a couple thousand walk-up tickets or whatever. Like, that stuff all matters. But you've got a Nelly concert tomorrow. So maybe you feel like, well, there's already going to be a good crowd. Do you wait till later in the weekend? I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would just say less than 50% chance. But hopefully we find out in an hour that Brady House is coming up.
Yeah, it feels like it's happening very soon to me. If that means that, you know, because you mentioned the Nelly concert Friday, tomorrow night, rather. Maybe it's sometime, you know, after this weekend series or something.
Maybe it could be Monday against the Rockies.
And that's my thought, while they're at home. Because they don't do it on the road for whatever reason. I mean, there have been debuts on the road with Bryce Harper in L.A. But that, I think that was circumstantial because of an injury. But when it's planned, they always seem to do it at home. Maybe it's a, hey, let's get a little juice here for a weekday series that may or may not be well attended.
But here's why I thought this homestand was a no-brainer. Not only do you play the Marlins, who stink, and the Rockies, who are worse, and it is a nice little soft landing spot. Not only does the right-handed nature and the power that he provides, like, all help right now, not only are you terrible offensively and in your worst rut of the season, essentially, since their big four-game outburst, and like all of these reasons are good reasons, you're not home again until July 1st. So if he doesn't get called up now, then I would definitely think it'd be that homestand, which is 3 against the Tigers and then 3 against Boston. But Detroit's the best team in the American League, arguably the best team in baseball. Boston's, you know, much firmer challenge. Not to say that that matters a lot, because if you're calling a guy to the big leagues, you can't worry and protect.
Yeah, you can't hide.
Baby, I'm like, you're always going to be playing good big league teams and legitimate pitchers, and if that's a problem, then he shouldn't be in the majors anyway. But you're talking about July 1, which is you know, another 15 days in the minor leagues. I'm not saying that that's bad. Every day he's developing is probably helpful. But what's the point of that? What's the benefit? I mean, how much more seasoning is he getting in that time? If he's going to be ready on July 1st, well, he's ready now. And if there was a reason not to call him up financially or business-wise, I'd say, sure, wait. The example I'll give you there is Cade Cavalli. And Cade Cavalli, everyone says, well, why aren't they calling him up? He's pitching well at AAA. Trevor Williams is not very good. And Mitchell Parker has really struggled. Like, he could take a spot in the rotation. Yes, he could, and he will. The problem for Cade Cavalli right now is if he were to get called up today, then he would be 1 year closer to free agency and they'd lose another year. Because remember, he made his major league debut. And then when he got called up and made his debut, he was placed on the injured list after that. He wasn't like sent back to the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. So the 2 years that he's been hurt have cost the team.
Service time.
He's 2 years closer to free agency, even though he hasn't helped them. If you call him up now based on the number of days left in the season, my understanding is he gets another year closer and he's knocking on the door of free agency before he's ever really been a part of the organization.
Yeah, okay, now you're ready to pitch in the major leagues and join another team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you wait until early July when he's not going to accrue the season and you save yourself literally an entire year of Cade Cavalli in your organization? To me, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's smart.
And it's what they're doing, I think, and it's why he's not in the majors and they're just buying time and they'll say what they need to say in the meantime. But that's not a thing with Brady House right now. So now or in 2 weeks, what's the difference? Let's go to Gibbs, who's in Connecticut. On Grant and Danny, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Doing well.
Last night, I mean, got home 1 a.m., drove to the game for the first time. Get to see our seven hitter who's batting a nice 100 on the year and one of my favorite players ever hitting home runs against us. And it's just awful. And I want Brady House to get called up, but I don't want him to get called up and then have to be coached by Darnell Coles. And I don't know how much a hitting coach influences the players and everything, but I think it was 15 runs in like their last 95 innings before the ninth tonight. Like, that can't happen without a change. Even the Rockies went on a bad stretch and their hitting coach got fired and their manager. Like, something has to change. I don't want these players coming up and then getting affected by this awful coaching or performance. I'm not quite sure. But the offense has been awful. I can't watch it anymore. It's awful.
Appreciate you, dude.
Definitely been terrible. I mean, the four-game stretch that they had, Danny, was ridiculous. When they scored, it was 39 runs, I think, in those four games.
Yeah.
Remember, they had nine.
Three nines and an 11.
Nine and 11. And they had that. I mean, this team, this lineup, had the 11 batters in a row in the first inning all come to the plate without a single out. Like, baseball is the funniest thing in the world. But they've paid for it ever since. That four-game stretch was so far above the norms and what's expected and reasonable and what this group's capable of, that on either side of that, the correction has been very, very real.
You have the next five games that didn't equal the total from one of those games. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how violent and mean baseball is in terms of progressions. But, yeah, I mean, so I see that point. I know a lot of Nats fans feel that way. They're frustrated with some of the coaching and the like. You know, to me, the hitting coach is only as good as the hitters. Like, it's great for Kevin Long to look awesome when he's hanging out with Juan Soto and, a bunch of really quality big leaguers that are going to grind at bats. I don't know how good a hitting coach Darnell Coles is. I have no idea. It's really hard for me to tell. But there's only so much you can do with the molds of clay that are Alex Call and Jose Tena and, a couple, Keber Ruiz, a couple other guys in the back of the order. I don't know. I don't know exactly. But to me, I understand his point. Where you've given us this idea that we have expectations of winning. Well, that's not what winning looks like. There's no way that's meeting expectation, watching your lineup just get pitched to for half of a month. You know what I mean? Like, that's, so something should probably change. I don't know what it is. Maybe it could be calling up Brady House. But at a certain point, show us that you actually believe some of the rhetoric that you were espousing. That makes sense to me as a fan.
The Darnell Coles dialogue is difficult for me. And I think it's just because I don't have the information necessary and I don't even know how to get it. In other words, like, the team will tell you he does a fine job. The fan base doesn't think he does. You could say the proof's in the pudding. The results are the results. But to your point, I don't think that a pitching coach or a hitting coach is the reason for the results. In every sport's a little bit different, but like, a pitching coach being really good doesn't mean your staff's going to have a low ERA. If you have the best pitching coach in the world and you put together with a very low payroll a bunch of crappy pitchers, they're going to have a terrible earned run average. I look at this lineup right now and I go, how sure are we that they should be a lot better than they are offensively? Like, who is playing well below the back of the baseball card, in other words? There might be an example here, an example there, but by and large, go through it. They've got one guy with young superstar potential in James Wood, who's having an all-star season, is on pace for over 30 home runs, who's going to hit close to 300. So is Darnell Cole's doing a good job with him? I guess he is, right? Because right. James Wood's had a great year. C.J. Abrams was just in a bad slump, but for the duration of the season is one of the more productive shortstops offensively in baseball. Well, I guess he was doing a really good job with him for a little while, but then he did a bad job with him, and hopefully he does a better job with him soon. You see what I'm saying? Like,
of course I do. So
I heard that Josh Bell, who four teams have said no thank you to in the last 2 years, who's 33 years old, was available for a song, isn't having a very good season. I don't think you're fixing that. Alex Call is a bench bat that they play too much. He's 30. He's a nice little player. He's not an everyday guy. They treat him like one in stretches. He's actually overachieved. I guess Darnell Coles has been awesome with him. But I don't know. I just don't do the, but he's a terrible hitting coach because the team doesn't hit. I look at this lineup and I go, that'll be the 23rd best lineup in baseball, like on paper. That's how I feel.
And to go pitching wise, like, if I don't care if you, you know, find prime Leo Mazzoni. I don't know that he makes this staff outside of Mackenzie Gore really good. You know, I think Jake Irvin punched above his weight class. He's kind of settling back into who he is. I don't know that Mitchell Parker or Trevor Williams or, you know, the bullpen guys, Colin Poche and company that they had to start the year. I don't know how good a pitching coach could possibly be with some of those horses. So again, I'm also not saying the fans are wrong, by the way. I have no idea. To me, the things that you know are easily fireable, where it's like the guy's not grinding, the guy's not putting in the work, the guy you want to hit and the guy's nowhere to be found. Okay, fine. Fire the hitting coach if that's the case. You've heard stories about that, not necessarily here, but around the league. That's right. Happened before. Other than that, it's really hard for me to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's my answer.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not telling you that it's a bad thing to do. If you want to do it, do it. I'm just saying these guys are still walking through the door. You still have the worst catching OPS in baseball the day after you fire that guy. And do you think all of a sudden, like, he's telling them the wrong approach, or he's not instructing them in the way that the next big league guy is going to, or someone like Chris Johnson would probably be elevated on the staff? All of a sudden he's going to have this come to Jesus with K-Bert Ruiz, who's been a bad offensive player for most of three seasons, and he's just going to get really good overnight. Like, I guess I just see it a little bit differently. Not saying don't do it, but
maybe you need a different voice. That's fine.
If you think that's the fix, I think you're wrong.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're saying these results are terrible and you just got to do something to show that this isn't okay? Then I can have that conversation.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that's reasonable enough.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106 on the Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. I got to tell you, I was driving around yesterday after the Nationals lost to the Mets. They were swept by the Mets. They actually had a little flurry in the ninth inning, but came up just short. But they had gone 22 straight innings without a run, Cakes.
Mm-hmm, that's a long time.
I don't need to summon baseball Cakes to know that's not very good.
No.
Well, as Rizzo said, you don't need to be Branch Rickey to know.
To know the players are going to come back.
When he brought up that name, I had never heard that name.
He had no file on Branch Rickey.
Branch Rickey?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm supposed to know who Branch Rickey is?
Isn't that like back in the Jackie Robinson days?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, I'll
give you a pass.
I got nothing on Branch Rickey.
But anyway, I'm driving around my car.
Hamburger.
The game finishes. Rickey. There's post game, and then Grant and Danny come on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a caller that was super Rick at the lack of development in many of the players. You know, he's like, look, I'm a huge fan, but some of these guys just aren't developing. I know there was a big article about K-Bear Ruiz recently. I saw a ranking, and look, I couldn't give you catcher tandems in Major League Baseball. But the Nats were like dead last in WAR, I believe it was the statistic that they were running with.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the reality of the situation with the Nationals. The year after they win the World Series, 26-34. You want to toss that out? That's fine.
Totally toss that out.
All right.
That was 2021, that was a debacle.
They win 65 games. 2022, they win 55. The last 2 years, they finished 71-91.
Yeah.
And this year, there's been some hope. And just a week ago, we would have said, oh, they're 3 or 4 games below 500. But I think they've lost 8 out of their last 10.
They're 8 games
swept.
Blown out.
And you could feel it. So I'm driving around, and then Grant and Danny come on. They have the one caller, and then just people are, their patience is done.
It's wearing thin for the Nats and the
like
rebuild.
Davey,
mm-hmm.
Rizzo, and we're biased. We have Rizzo on every week. Like, they're kind of sick of the excuses. It's time. And kind of, maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. But Jim Bowden has an article in The Athletic, which is titled 20 Things I'm Hearing and Watching For on MLB Trade Deadline with 50 Days to Go.
Well, here's what I did before you go. I know what the Nats are. Sellers. Anything that they can sell, they're going to sell.
But don't they have outside to turn that around? Like, are you supposed to be sellers forever? I think that's where the frustration is in the fans. That, well, the fans are like,
hold on,
we just keep losing. At some point, you got to be a buyer.
When you've lost 5 straight and you're 8 games below 500, and the trade deadline is what, end of July? This is what, 6 weeks away? You're not a buyer. No team that's 8 games below 500 or worse at this point is going to be a buyer.
I'm not saying
they're going to be sellers.
I'm not saying they're going to be a buyer. But maybe they should be, is the point.
I don't understand that logic.
What do you mean? Because if you're going to be a seller, you're just going
to
get
they're
in.
They're not ready to
prospects.
Be buyers. Their record is showing you they're not ready to be buyers.
Yeah, but what if you could get someone that it's going to be a longer term deal. You're not just getting him down for a stretch run. You might just be adding for next year.
The reason they turned it around the first go round, when Rizzo likes to say we've done this before, was yes, they had young up and coming talent, and they were able to get these draft choices. Bryce Harper and Strasburg, who were cornerstones of turning it around from a losing team to a winning team. But the guy that they always credit and the contract they always credit is Jason Worth.
Mm-hmm.
They always say, and then we added Jason Worth. So maybe it's time. Like, if you're a seller, Cakes, aren't you kind of admitting, all right, that this is a lost season, and then you're kind of kicking the can down the road again?
Well, they're not going to sell anything.
Yes.
Of
at some point, you got to, I think you have to have some urgency for
well,
the
read
now.
What Bowden, whatever you say his name is, he's been around forever.
What's his plan?
It's not his plan.
What he's hearing. Okay.
And if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I'd love to hear from some diehard Nats fans and where you are, like on your patience meter.
Mm-hmm.
This is likely to be the sixth straight losing season, barring some sort of unexpected turnaround. Like, they might be better than last year, which was 71-91, but it's probably not going to be 85 wins.
Nobody thinks that.
Right?
Selfishly, I need 72 dubs.
Nobody thinks they'll even get near 80, I don't think.
What Bowden wrote is he says, the Nationals are looking for an ace to pair with Mackenzie Gore at the top of their rotation. That will be their priority at the trade deadline and in the offseason. It appears that ownership could be willing to spend more in the offseason to make impactful moves and start getting serious about trying to contend.
Right. So it's not a stretch move. It's like, we're going to make a move to get into the playoffs. It's a move to make us better for the future.
Long-term arm.
It's the opposite of what Cakes is saying.
Right.
And Bowden could be wrong.
Right.
But he's saying they realize they got to be buyers at some point. They can't just be sellers all the time.
Correct.
If you're sellers all the time, every trade deadline, Cakes, you're pretty much going nowhere.
Right. I have no idea if they're going to make a move, but I wouldn't rule out them adding a good player. They need to start adding good players to the mix of their young players.
And if you get an
and
ace,
I know, by the way, they Rizzo might be will defend the young players that they have on the horizon.
Yeah, and Brady House might be a stud when he gets here, and Hassel has shown some signs. Like, it's great, but maybe it is time to finally start spending some money on the veterans. 800-636-1067. And if you think of it this way, you know, when they were going good, you had Scherzer, you had Strasburg, you had Gio, that maybe they're going to try and you're eventually going to get JoJo Gray back next year, right?
Right.
And he already made an all-star team. You never know how guys respond from rehab. But Gore looks like a stud.
Oh, he's the real deal.
So if you get an ace,
but here's the problem,
from somebody else that's trying to sell, right? Let's say there's another team that's trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
The Marlins are just about to dump some pitcher.
How about Skeens?
I think it's too early on Skeens.
Here's the assumption you're making. That the team's willing to spend more money to bring on this ace that you're talking about.
Well, that's his.
How do we know that the Nats are willing to do that?
He's heard that they might be finally willing.
I would guess the current ownership is not willing to do that. They haven't spent money on the payroll in the last three plus seasons.
But they've spent money in the past. Don't you agree that their track record is if they think they're going to be competitive, they'll spend money?
That they've done it in the past.
So
I don't know if their current mindset is to get into the $200+ million payroll game.
Do you have sources?
No. It's called
Is
intuition.
It possible?
It's called what they've done in the recent history.
I understand, but is it possible? And again, he could be wrong, but is it possible that Jim Bowden knows a little bit more and is more plugged in than you?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
But I'm guessing, and this is just a guess, that the learners are all of a sudden not just going to go from spending $125 million, which I think is the current payroll, and bumping that up by $50 or $75 million.
But when
I find that hard to believe.
When he says 20 things I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Jim Bowden, former GM in the league.
Yep.
Who's saying he's hearing this. So he probably has a few sources. He's probably kind of plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he says the Nationals are looking for an ace to pair with Mackenzie Gore at the top of their rotation. That's what Jim Bowden is hearing.
Mm-hmm. I
and then he says that will be their
priority at the trade deadline and in the offseason.
Right.
You're basically scoffing at Jim Bowden right now.
A lot of scoffing over here.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, they're going to start spending money again.
They have to.
Yeah, at some point.
Or the fans are going to revolt.
Yeah,
and I think they all kind of are. I'm telling you.
I think that's a big assumption.
I'm driving around yesterday. These are hardcore Nats fans that were bitter.
I don't think that Cakes, they're just going to turn into a team that never spends.
I don't think it's a bad option. So let's say you're a little...
I just wonder
little,
who they're going to give up to get it. Go ahead, Bobby.
Just say you're a little hesitant to spend big money in free agency. So why not deal some of these prospects for, you know, all-star caliber players on losing teams that are controlled for another 3 years with a contract that's not that bad? Like Drew Rasmussen for the Tampa Bay Rays has a contract where he makes like 5.5 this year, 8 mm-hmm. next year, and there's an option for 2027.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a horrible contract.
Are they looking to move him?
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's the Rays aren't an elite team. You can try and pick away from the carcasses of these other teams instead of going into free agency.
My only thing is, what are they going to give up? Because I don't want to give up any of the...
Well, you're going to have to make a concession.
Yeah, you might have to give up a Brady House or a Hassel.
Not doing that. I'll give up somebody in single A, maybe.
Because some of these guys don't work out.
I know.
You just told me.
He's so close.
Prospects are suspects, and now I'm trying to make a deal.
They are, but I wouldn't trade one that close. I'm not sure that someone destroying AAA the way House is,
I can tell
is,
you,
is a suspect.
The other part that I hear from fans, and we'll go to your calls here in a moment, 800-636-1067.
I'd trade Elijah Green.
They're frustrated. In two guys.
That's who I trade.
They're frustrated in two guys who seem to be doing better elsewhere than they did here. Corbin, mm-hmm. Jason brought him up like a week ago, and Eric Fetty. It's like these guys are bums here. They go somewhere mm-hmm. else, and then they're decent.
Eric, you wouldn't be thrilled if they made a deal like that for a pitcher who has a under 3 ERA and is controllable for 3 years.
It depends on who they give up. Now, I might trade Dylan Cruz for him.
What?
I'm not all in on Dylan Cruz.
You'd rather trade Dylan Cruz than Hassel?
I'm all in. No, I'm just saying. It depends on the return. I'm just saying I'm not convinced Dylan Cruz is going to be a star.
Hold on, Eric.
He's played 40 games.
You're going to trade Dylan Cruz, who was just the number 2 prospect in baseball, for Brady House, who's barely in the top 100 prospects. Because he's hitting the ball hard in AAA for a week?
Yeah. I'm just saying, listen, I'm just saying, okay, I won't have an opinion. I'm telling you, my opinion is I'm not sold on Dylan Cruz. Apparently, he looks like he's just going to be like a silly role player for 15 years. Yeah,
role player?
I'd rather have a star. I don't see a star.
I think Brady House is a star.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I would rather...
Yeah, but
I'm not sold on
Dylan Cruz. But wouldn't you be thrilled for the fact that it looks like they'd be on the launching pad to try and spend more money if they're making an acquisition like that? If they're trading for a...
I assume they are going to... Unlike Cakes, I do think at some point they're going to start spending money again.
If they make a move and they acquire a number one or number two starting pitcher, I would be excited heading into the offseason if I were a Nats fan, because I'd be like, well, if they're making this move now, they see the team is getting better. And we compete.
At some point, they're going to have to
compete
start.
For the NL East or
just
a wild
had a
card.
Conversation with Mike. They're getting closer. There are only a few guys. Everyone's now jumping off the bandwagon because they've lost 8 out of 10. They just previously had won 7 out of 10. It's a roller coaster season.
They do get the Marlins and Rockies at home for.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone's jumping off the bandwagon. I think they'll probably win 75 games this year, which is a very modest improvement from last year. But they're heading in the right direction. They got more help coming on the way. I just wouldn't give up. Some of that immediate help on the way.
None of us can go inside what the owners are thinking, right? None of us know. But in 2019, they did have a payroll of $200 million.
Yep.
It's $100 million right now, mm-hmm. according to Baseball Reference.
Yeah, they're not spending jack.
I think they know what's been happening with the losing, that they're going to have to spend at some point. So I just don't think you're going to be perennial sellers. At some point, you got to change.
I'd be willing.
You don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again, Kate.
The counter is you wait for more young players to develop, and then you
spend. I think that's Rizzo's plan. $5 wager, Rizzo doesn't acquire anything close to an ace at the trade deadline. Takers?
I wouldn't bet it.
Anybody?
No.
I won't bet it because it might not happen. Doesn't mean they're not trying.
Well, who cares about trying?
Yeah.
Trying means nothing. You either do something or you don't.
Well, you're not going to make a bad deal for one.
Right.
I agree. Mike Rizzo usually
but
goes into
yeah, but that doesn't mean it doesn't prove it's untrue.
I'll make this bet with you.
But can I get the offseason too? Because what Bowden wrote is that will be their priority at the trade deadline and in the offseason. So if you give me trade deadline and offseason for acquiring an ace, I'll make the bet.
To do that, I would have to minimize my exposure. I would make it a $3 bet instead of a $5 bet. No, I'm giving you more time and I'm doubling the bet.
It's not more time. It's what he wrote.
That's a bad bet. I don't make bad bets.
You scoffed at what he said, the former GM.
I bet you they go up. If so they're at $100 million in payroll. I bet you they go up 50% in payroll. Give me 2 years.
How much can I bet on that?
I'm with you, EB. I think that's
2 years.
$10 bet?
So I think within 2 years, they'll be right on the brink, and then they're going to start, boom.
Eventually, they're going to have to give Gore.
$10 bet.
They're going to have to give Gore a big contract.
June 13th of 2027.
Yeah. They'll increase their payroll by 50%.
All right, we got a break.
I'm in.
We got some people that want to chime in. I want to hear from Nats fans. You diehards, where are you in terms of patience with this team? Because I was feeling a lot of impatience as I was driving around from callers. It's 5 straight losing seasons. You know, we're 50 days away from the trade deadline. We'll see.
20 years of Nats baseball being celebrated all season long. And this weekend, the Nats are bringing back a few legends, one of whom we saw on the list. We said, we got to talk to him. We have not had the chance to talk to Daniel Murphy in some time. People just sleep on the 2016-2017 All-Star seasons, the runner-up for the Most Valuable Player Award that Murphy put together, leading the league in doubles over those 2 years, led the league in slug and OPS in 16. Really, over those 2 years, one of the best stretches we've seen by any Nats hitter. And he joins us now on the hotline here on Grant and Danny. Daniel, it is good to catch up with you, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thank you for having me. You humble me. I appreciate that. You start sending the dropkick Murphys. You make me want to grab a bat, but I'm too old and slow for that, but I still want to grab it.
I disagree. You could still hit, dude. Yeah. I guarantee it.
I said yesterday, and I legitimately mean this, if you got in the batter's box tonight, I'm not guaranteeing a hit because baseball's a cruel mistress. I think you're putting 3 balls in play.
Oh, it makes my heart sing to hear you say that because accuracy isn't quite, it seems, is I wouldn't say valued, but it's a little more difficult to find as the game gets more modern. And that was like the only tool I had for a long time in the big leagues was like I was going to touch you at home plate, at least make a foul. And that's just the way I kind of grew up with my dad throwing to me and my brother. Like we really valued accuracy. And, you know, once you figure out, you know, if I could just play against the right fielder about 500 times, we'd put together a couple pretty good seasons.
Only one guy on defense. It would have been easier for a lot of hitters. But you mentioned that, Daniel. You never struck out 100 times in a season. Just remarkable by today's standards. Over the years, though, how did you see pitching evolve? Like it just some of the stuff that hitters had access to in terms of video, pitchers started doing that, and then they ran with it too, with their pitch shaping stuff and supinating their pronators and tying rocket ships to their to their hips and all these kinds of things. Just seems like stuff is nastier every second of every day.
It does. It does. It's definitely the velocity's harder. You know, they throw harder without a doubt. But I tried to break things down kind of to like the simplest possible thing for me, because I wouldn't claim to be very smart at all, but I'm trying to get base hits. And I found that getting base hits was trying to keep it as simple as possible. And I was reading a book by Christy Mathewson, and he said that pitchers only recognize two types of pitch balls, curve and straight. And it really struck me because in reality, the pitcher can only, he can curve it. He can curve it right to left like the new modern age sweeper, you know what I mean, that Dennis Eckersley used to throw.
Yep.
Nothing new under the sun. Or you can curve it top to bottom like a Justin Verlander or Steven Strasburg. And then you can straight it. So you can throw splitters the way they do now or ghost forks or those things. But in reality, that's just a slow straight one. You could cut it. You could sink it. And so the way I tried to look at it was like I wanted to pick a spot out of the pitcher's hand to have it start to where it would finish where I wanted. And after getting with, K-Long and Pat Rossler and then had K-Long in D.C. and Rick Hsu as well, just like my big thing was like I wanted to eliminate the infielders and I wanted to basically try to corner you into a position in the strike zone, because really baseball boils down to a fight over the strike zone. Like that's the most important piece of real estate in baseball. And I wanted to get one close to me, beat the first and second baseman in the air, try to score somebody from first, basically. By the time I got here, I couldn't run out of sight in a week. I ran a little bit when I was younger, but that's a young man's game. So, like, if I hit a single, I'm asking one of my buddies behind me, like Zim or Harp, or depending where I'm hitting, or Willie Ramos, who's going to be in the house this weekend, to hit a double. So I just kind of decided I'm going to be the one to try to hit a double. I'll see if I could score him from first.
Daniel Murphy, one of the great hitters that's come through here at Nats Park, back for the 20-year celebration on Grant and Danny, talking hitting with him on The Fan. As I mentioned, in those two seasons, led the league in doubles both years, and in slug one year, was a runner-up for MVP. You mentioned, though, working with K-Long, and all the stories now are you start lifting the ball in that epic run with the Mets in the playoffs in 15, and obviously that carries over. What do people get right and wrong, though, about what I'll call like the launch angle era? Because, you know, it's funny, still today, like, I've got a buddy who played indie league ball and works with kids, and, you know, he works with coaches, and some of them, when they even hear launch angle, it's like, they want to, like, grab someone's neck, you know, but it's become this, like, territorial thing in baseball.
Yeah, I think launch angle is a measurement. So we can now measure what they used to say, how old am I now, 40? So 30 years ago when I was on the Sandlots with my coaches, say, I want you to hit a line drive in the gap. Now it's just more quantifiable. I know that at 10 degrees you beat the infielders, but I didn't really care other than I knew how to measure it. And so I think that's part of what maybe gets mistaken, and that at launch angle is only a measurement. We're still trying to drive the ball in the gap. If I may take it a step maybe back, is like I try to really break it down foundationally. What is the scoreboard asking me? The scoreboard gives me a problem to solve every single pitch, and it changes. Like a runner gets on first base, the defense has to rearrange the furniture. You know what I mean? Like the first baseman's got to go hold him on. And so the scoreboard dictates what you get to do on defense. The scoreboard dictates what we get to do on offense. If I've got a runner at third base and less than two outs, it is telling me right now you have to be accurate at all costs. This ball has to get pushed forward. And so once you work it back from that, if I'm facing Scherzer or Straws, you know what I mean, and I know that they've got a kill shot with me with two strikes and a runner on third less than two outs, well, I don't want to get to two strikes. Mm-hmm. I may take a swing earlier in the count to make sure I push this ball forward. Selfishly, I want to hit a sac fly because I don't like an 0-for-1. I'd rather not if I could, but I got to get this ball going forward. And so I do think that there is an opportunity as the game gets more modernized for the players to read the scoreboard better, without a doubt. Like, strikeouts are up, and there's a time and place for a strikeout. Like, if I'm hitting a double play, I'm sure Dusty would prefer me hit to a, you know, 4-6-3, you know, other than or strike out other than hitting into a double play. So there's a time to take a chance. But for the most part, accuracy is king. Where are we going to try to be accurate to? If there's nobody on, you know what I mean? I want to touch second from home plate, because you're talking about your buddy playing independent ball. I went back to the bushes in 23. Went and played in Long Island with Wally Backman.
That's like, right. Long Island
I had
Ducks.
A blast, yeah. And the reason I had a chance to go and play in Salt Lake with the Angels as well, too. The reason I got booted out again of baseball is because I couldn't touch second base from home plate. Like, offensively, you got to be able to get the scoring position. And when I was younger, I could run a little bit, so I could hit some singles and the doubles I did. But as I got older and slow, like, I got to hit a double, and only 7% of ground balls go for extra bases. At least that was the stat that Pat Rossler told me now 10 years ago. So if I want to touch second base from home plate, I got to play against the outfielders.
Daniel Murphy with us here on Grant and Danny. So I remember over the years, just we would get to go in the clubhouse and, you know, during media access, whatever, and, you know, not necessarily to bother you while you were, you know, getting ready for a game, but I could count a million instances, Daniel, where I would see you at somebody's locker talking the way you're talking now. You know what I mean? Where it's just like spreading the gospel of hitting, or this approach, or this idea, or you could do this with your swing, or this is my timing, this is what works for me. I'm now on this part of the plate, and I look for this against this guy. That passion for the craft, that there are some of the great hitters of all time that I think of that kind of shared that. Is that sort of how you feel in terms of hitting a baseball, and have you thought about applying that as you know, a high-level hitting coach?
Well, I am the offensive coordinator for the 11U Blue Claws in Jacksonville. So I don't know if that's high level.
That's high level.
I do run the offensive approach for our Blue Claws team.
That sounds football-y. Is that a baseball offensive coordinator title?
No, sorry, yeah. No. It's my 11-year-old's baseball team that he's on. Okay. His little league team.
So yeah, I did the same for the Swamp Donkeys, Daniel, so I know what you're going through.
Have the Swamp Donkeys played them
I'm
yet?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
We would get smoked by that group down there in Jacksonville. our 7U team would not fare very well.
Oh, I got a 7-year-old too, so maybe we end up hooking up. We get outside a little bit earlier than y'all do, but I don't know if we'd beat the crap out of you.
I just like that
scuffle, like that bare knuckle brawl between the pitcher who's 60 feet away and the batter. Like, I love it. I just absolutely love it. I love fighting over that real estate 7x10 balls. You know what I mean? 7 ball wide by 10 balls high in the strike zone. And so to me, that's what it felt like. Like, this is a hunt. He's hunting me. I'm hunting him. And we both have gotten problems to solve from the scoreboard. And so, just trying to kind of corner the pitcher in as best I could. I just love talking about it. As I've gotten older, I've gotten less, I would say, mechanical and technical. I'm a little bit more of a hippie now, especially going playing an independent ball. Because as I watch, like, my boys move, I got an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old that ball, a 2-year-old, not yet. But, like, they move to me the same way I see that Ted Williams moves and Babe Ruth, like this style. So I don't mess with their style much. You know what I mean? I try to teach them, get you a good ball to hit, because that's what Roger Hornsby told Ted Williams when he asked him what it takes to be a great hitter. He said, get a good ball to hit. Get you a good one. And then from there, as best you can, try to hit it as hard as you can to the outfielders. You know what I mean? I'll tell them, pick your favorite outfielder to play against. Get you a good ball and pick your favorite outfielder. And so as I have kind of gotten older, I've gotten less technical, even though I can talk mechanics. Not that you kind of talked about me being at somebody's locker. I don't know if I was necessarily invited there, but I was going to sit down and we was going to talk ball, if you know what I mean. And that took some growing as well, too, that, like, everybody's process is different. And so I'm a bit more like, I want to talk it all the time. And, you know, playing with David in New York and Zim here, like, that's just not the way they ticked. Like, they were a little bit more free-flowing that I had to learn how to be, because I'm kind of a technician at heart. You know what I mean? I'm a tinkerer. I like to hold on to things, but I found that unless I'm willing to release the result, you know what I mean, and trust the work and the process and the things that have been put in the cage and our plan that's going into it individually and as a team, I won't go fast enough to be productive. So you have to have some real childlike play to you, in my opinion, to go fast enough to be productive.
I've found there's some research into this now. There was a book called The MVP Machine that came out, and they had this idea that it's become really important to have what's called a conduit. And, like, basically the idea is that players don't want to hear from nerds about what they need to do. Because, like, and we have Jason Wirth on the show pretty frequently now. And, like,
Between his horse racing.
Exactly.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. We're talking to him about, like, going to the Derby and whatnot. But, like, J-Dub will come on, and he told us this story. It's actually hilarious.
It was in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The end of his career in Seattle, there's this, forget the kid's name, but let's say his name was Albert. He's like, this kid named Albert asked him to stop by his office after he hit in the cage or whatever. And so Wirth, like, sits down, and this kid gives him all his data and slides it across the desk. And he said, Albert, is that your name? And he's like, yeah. He's like, never talk to me again. And he stood up, and he, like, walked out of the office, right?
But he stands up at 6'4", imposing on him.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Albert's like, right. Oh, okay, Mr. Wirth.
I promise.
Everything short of, like, lifting him up and giving him a swirly, yeah. Right? But my point is, everyone wants these conduits. So the Nats now have this in Sean Doolittle, who was like a data analytical arm. So Jim Hickey says something, and Jake Irvin, like, rolls his eyes, but then Doolittle's there to, like, and I'm overstating this, right? But my point is, how important was that for you? Like, you were one of the few players that did all that and was probably on your own savant and looking at all these numbers. But, like, a lot of guys, like Zim, I'd imagine, or different guys are like, get away from me. It's like, what is that like now, do you think, compared to 10 years ago? And what was it like then?
Yeah, I think it's really relational and finding what the individual values and what they feel like is going to make them most productive. So, like, Zim was adverse to data because he would go and take peeks at, like, tendencies and, percentages of pitches that the pitchers would throw in certain situations and counts. And he'd be like, I'm just going to go look for it till I die. You know what I mean? I'll go look for it the whole. I'll go look for this curve because I think I'm going to get one. And the idea of a conduit, and there ain't one probably better in the big leagues than Sean Doolittle, because it, to me, it goes back to that scuffle. You know what I mean? And it's not to say that there's certainly a place for the fellas who can add and subtract and kind of say, you know, this seems to work for you, throw more cutters or more this, or, you know, look for this pitch at the plate. But the guys that have stood in there have taken a punch, hopefully socked a couple people themselves and been able to give a punch. There's just something about that experience that you know, you've danced in the same place. Like I've been in the same sandlot as some of these guys. So when somebody comes in and I could see like, oh man, this guy is standing on his head. Well, one of my experiences is, well, as much as you're thinking about your swing and how you feel, I found that the pitcher's thinking as much about himself. So as bad as you think you're going, he don't know, not as much as you think. So let's get back to kind of what's the approach, what's the scoreboard asking me to help my team right now? Because I do like the aspect of the money ball and kind of the blackjack, you know what I mean? The scoreboard is going to give us things to do, and again, like problems to solve, get, you know, runner at second base and nobody out, get them over. The more times you do that to me is like playing blackjack and you give yourself the best chance for success. It's not going to happen all the time, but the more times you do what the scoreboard asks you to do, it's going to give you the best chance, I think, personally for success and the team for success. And I may have gotten that backwards, but you guys are picking up what I'm putting down.
Daniel Murphy on Grant and Danny. A couple of moments left with him, which is a shame because I could listen to him talk about hitting for hours and hours and hours. Last one I'll ask you on baseball, and then we want to figure out what you're doing this weekend. The electronic strike zone is almost certainly coming to the major leagues. It looks like next year we're going to have a challenge system, and whether we end there or ultimately every pitch is determined electronically is still up in the air. How would you have liked or not liked that?
I liked it. I used it in AAA. You know, so that was one of the nice things of coming back as an old man and trying to play again was I got a chance to use it. And so I would get frustrated when the umpires would expand the zone east and west. You know what I mean? Left or right. My bat's only so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can fight you north and south. Like I got a puncher's chance that way, but maybe an umpire, you know, will remain unnamed, but had a fairly egregious strike three call away to a lefty not too long ago. He's also thrown me out before in Baltimore. So there's the context clues for anyone who's listening. Like when you get me east and west, I don't feel like I've got nearly as much of a chance. And what the automated strike zone does is it keeps you on the plate. Now, I do think there will be some adjustments for a Steven Strasburg, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, you know, dating myself now because, you know, maybe Tarek Skubal type breaking balls, you know, 12-6 that will clip the bottom of the zone that the catcher may bounce and block. You know what I mean? He'll be looking to block those balls that have almost always and universally been balls that are getting the strike zone now. But I always felt like I had a puncher's chance if the umpire made him stay on the plate. So I am in favor of the ABS, you know, as long as the data is up to par.
Daniel, I have
technology.
I've got a text chain going with Laz Diaz. You want me to give you any messages from you?
Oh, no. I mean, I've said my piece to Laz, like, you know, Michael Gibbons was trying to walk me in Baltimore, and Laz wouldn't let him. And so I got tossed for staying as much.
Isn't Laz, I mean, now Jason Wirth has taken issue with a couple different guys with us, but that's one of the ones.
That's one of the guys.
He also brought yes. up. So that goes around, it sounds like. Hey, what is going on for the 20th this weekend? What are you taking part in?
So I know Sunday family's going to come out with Adam LaRoche and Wilson Ramos and their family. And I think we're going to be able to do a Q&A, sign some autographs, and then I'm not certain what else. It's probably on the itinerary that Miss Sean from the Nationals sent me. But we're in Old Town right now, so we just did a lap like proper tourists around here. Got a good bit of pizza and got some ice cream, and I'm going to try to get out to the day game tomorrow with the boys. So the three of us are going to get out there and watch some ball. Like, really excited to be back. I can't say enough about how good the Nationals and the Learners and the organization and Mike Rizzo have been to my family and I when we were in D.C. and here now post-playing career.
How old are your little guys now?
We go 11. 9-year-old is our daughter, and then 7, 2.
Wow, 2? Look at you. Okay.
Yeah, we knew the rules, but you know.
Right.
Still play the game every now and then.
Yeah, familiar territory. Yeah.
That's relatable content around these parts, I'll say. I got one coming in a month, and Danny had one just a few months ago.
Yeah, 11, 7, and 4 months old, Daniel. So we're not great planners. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, enjoy the trip back. I mean this. I mean, I really could listen to you talk hitting all day long. And
great stuff, dude.
You come
Seriously.
Up still more than you think, whether it's on this show or with Nats fans talking about some of the great players that have come through here. So thanks for hopping aboard.
Well, I appreciate it. That's humbling. If I see you guys out there this weekend, we'll talk a little ball. I could talk ball all day till the cows come home.
We'll be there, so we will see you. There's Daniel Murphy. Nats great. He will be part of the celebration of 20 years of Nats baseball over at the park. Sorry about that.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, look.
Quick apologies.
I get I'm a nerd. I just got steamed up for that conversation.
What I hope everybody gets now is that kid in the candy store vibe where he's walking around, and he even made a joke about it, to every locker of anybody that's going to hold a bat at any point, including pitchers, by the way, before the universal DH, going, you could do it this way. You ever think about this hand position? You ever think about choking up this way? But if you put the pine tar right here, you face the label the certain way. And against this guy, the timing was when his front foot comes down, his left shoulder is a bit of a tell because sometimes, like, it's a never-ending commitment to hit the baseball better and just wants to bring everybody with him.
The shame of it is there's people that just don't know.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, Darris, Charlie Rotz, the 15-year-old who throws 85 miles an hour that we met at Walter Sports Bar. This kid is silly, by the way. 85 miles an hour as a 15-year-old.
Okay. All right.
He was taking a tour in Nats Park. I don't think they were, like, trying to sign him. I think he was just literally a fan that took a tour. And he came up to me and he's like, don't you cover the Nats? And I'm like, yeah, but he'd never heard of, like, FM radio or anything. That guy, right? He doesn't know anything about Daniel Murphy. What a shame that is.
Yeah.
Y'all need to find out. Ryan, who was, like, a big Nats fan back then, he said, I don't even remember Daniel Murphy.
I barely even remember Murphy playing here, is what he said.
Hard to believe that.
Yeah.
That you were that asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But my God, was he good. Clariso Rick.
Yeah, he should be.
He's pretty salty right now. I did tell him he slept on Daniel Murphy and he about
threw. He went, oh, come on. No way.
I mean, just one of my favorite hitters of all time. Just the purest of pure swings. I love Daniel Murphy. I can watch his highlights all damn land. All damn day.
If I'm Mike Rizzo, we're having a little conversation before he leaves about his interest in coaching. That's all I'm saying. Now, it sounds like he's got his hands full with his kids, but maybe he likes traveling a little bit.
Yeah, I would say.
During the spring and the summer.
What about utilizing his services down there in Florida? You know what I mean? Like either for folks in the organization down there, spring training time. I mean, his words of wisdom towards some hitting would be a good deal.
Second in the MVP vote. I would have lost. I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I mean,
led the league in OPS and slug?
I remember the amazing year. I would have said he was top five, maybe. Second. To Chris Bryant, who used to be really good at baseball. Never forget that.
Do we remember that, by the way, when Chris Bryant was unbelievable?
He was so good. Fourth pick out of where? You're not going to pull it. You won't pull it.
I don't know what college it was. Was it a college? At high school?
College.
UNLV.
No. He was from San Diego.
We played Little League with Bryce Harper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.